My ambition after that trip to the Highlands was simply to see if Tasmania could make a really good single malt whisky.
We don't expect everyone to like these wines, so yes, there's some risk.
Drink more sherry, because that's when you can really educate yourself on what happens in maturation.
The thing is with Australian natives, you put them in a gin, the aftertaste invariably is just bitter and unpalatable.
I think the Irish whisky landscape is going to be wildly different over the next 5 years.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits, and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today.
Steve Roenfelt, better known as Steve the Bartender, has been sharing easy-to-follow cocktail videos on YouTube since 2017. He's based in Adelaide, South Australia, but he's built a global community of cocktail enthusiasts. As at the present moment, Steve has nearly 700,000 subscribers, which means he's the country's leading cocktail YouTuber and one of the top cocktail-related accounts globally. His debut book, Steve the Bartender's Cocktail Guide, was released in 2022, and he also co-owns Threefold Distilling, an Adelaide craft gin company that he founded in 2019 with two bartending mates. I was introduced to Steve recently by a mutual friend and have been seriously impressed by everything he's achieved. First up in this interview, I asked him about his career background prior to becoming a professional YouTuber.
Yes, yeah, I've been in the industry working hospitality for God knows how long. When I was about 17, I got my first bar job. But to be honest, I was never working in a good quality bar, mostly front bars and tavern bars. People in America probably refer to them as dive bars. But I've been doing it for a long time, been in hospitality, and then I started a YouTube channel back in 2015, and that's kind of when it all sort of kicked off.
What led you to start the YouTube channel in the first place?
A bit of self-promotion, to be honest. I had an online store called Cocktail Kit. Well, I still do, and I sell barware within Australia, and I thought that was a good avenue to basically share cocktail recipes and whatnot to, in order to promote the store. But in the end, most of the followers are from abroad, over in the US and UK, India, all over the place, and there's only a small fraction that are in Australia.
So when did it start to get traction?
So I first set myself a goal of uploading 365 videos, one per day, obviously for a year, and then I got to about 200 days, and I was just kind of banging my head against the wall and being like, why am I spending 3 to 4 hours a day when I'm also trying to run another business? And I went enough hours in the day. So after 200 days, I'd hit about 4,000 subscribers, gave a little bit of a rest. And then over the following 5 or 6 months, the subscriber count went from 4,000 to 40,000. And that's when I decided to, you know, continue on with it.
It grew while you weren't even putting up new content. Is that what you mean? Or
Yeah, correct. Over like 6 or so months. Purely because I had a catalog of like 200 videos that people were watching and subscribing from. And then once I started again, it fairly quickly went to over 100,000. And then I think 2020 was the time when everyone was staying at home and wanting to make drinks. That's when it really kind of exploded even more.
You know, you mentioned that, and like I just kind of probably assumed that because you're in Australia, you know, most of your audience would be in Australia, but you mentioned that the biggest proportion of your audience is overseas. Why do you think it's kind of resonated so much in other markets when I would have just assumed there would have been a Eric the Bartender or something over in the States that people are watching over there?
I think it's purely numbers, really. Like over in the US, there's obviously so many more people and they've been using YouTube a lot. Everyone watches YouTube over there as opposed to Australia. I mean, we're starting to now, but I think it's just more ingrained in day-to-day lives over in the States, so and some other countries. So that's, yeah, why it's boomed over there. And when I first started the channel, there was really only, you know, a handful of cocktail YouTubers that were uploading videos. So there weren't other options. People had to subscribe to me.
And now with, you know, I think it's something like 650,000 followers or something along those lines, is your, I mean, it's far and away got to be the biggest channel in Australia for this type of thing, but is there much else that's comparable with that globally?
Yes, definitely globally. There's probably about three other channels that are bigger that are just solely focused on cocktails. I'd have to say I think it's the biggest in Australia. But there's definitely other bigger YouTube channels that are, you know, gaming related. But as far as cocktails go, I think it's the biggest, which is really cool to say.
Yeah. And at what point did you kind of have to sort of adapt what you were doing to suit the range of markets overseas, just in the sense of, you know, metric versus imperial measurements and stuff like that? You must spend a lot of time converting stuff.
Yeah, I found out pretty early on that people don't like converting when I was, you know, saying metric measurements. So it's just habit now that every time I, you know, say a recipe, it's like 60 mil, 2 ounces. So across all my website, app, the book, everything, everything's got both measurements. So as easy as the conversion is, people don't want to do it.
Was there sort of, you know, like a style or, you know, a unique point that you kind of wanted to bring to the way that you create these cocktails versus other sources of information that are out there for people?
I think I'm just, you know, it's just my personality that I kind of showcase. It's pretty easygoing, casual. I wanted to get the point across that cocktails don't have to be hard. And I think that's what really resonated with people, is that they've just seen the casual vibe and how accessible cocktails are. I think that's the main thing. Like, it doesn't have to be overly complicated.
Are there any videos that you've done that have, like, surprised you with how popular they've been?
Yeah, some of the most popular ones are, like, stuff that I personally wouldn't drink myself, like Long Island iced teas. I think that's one of my most watched videos. That's the espresso martini. I love an espresso martini, but one of my old cringy videos is the one that blew up and it has several million views. Yeah, there's a few of those old videos that have gone crazy and I'm like, I don't know why, the quality's terrible. But I think it's just that that casual kind of vibe, and it's easy to follow.
Who does the production? Is it all you, or have you got to a point where you kind of outsource some of it now?
For the first couple of years, it was all me. My wife would often jump behind the camera and you know, get everything in focus and hit record. My setup is relatively simple. I don't, you know, there's not a lot of B-roll or anything like that. It's pretty much like camera on a tripod, point and shoot, and it's done. But nowadays I have a video editor, so that takes a lot of work off my hands, which is I'm very thankful for. Simona sees over in Europe. So I just upload the footage, and he's excellent at what he does. So it comes back and it's all complete and polished, and the editing is much better than what I can do.
And has this kind of reached a point where, like, your job now is, you know, professional YouTuber, and, you know, you earn a living based on the advertising from YouTube primarily?
Yeah, so this is my primary focus, but I also have a share in a distillery as well, so I spend a lot of time there. It's a bit of a juggling act, to be honest.
You must have spirits companies kind of knocking at your door and trying to get you to do endorsements and things like that, I would think.
Yeah, 100% all the time.
and do you entertain any of these arrangements, or I can see that there'd just be a lot of opportunities there for you?
Yeah, I do work with a few brands. I'm quite selective, so I have to essentially vet the brands. It has to be something that I personally, you know, believe in, something that I'd use, especially if I'm going to share that with people that are following the channel. Given that I own a gin distillery, most of the time I probably wouldn't promote another gin, especially something that's local. But still, people like to send samples, even knowing that, just probably likely won't make it onto the channel. That's the only thing.
What about the book? Was that kind of an inbound inquiry of a publisher that sort of saw the traction that your channel was getting and approached you?
Yes, yeah. So I've been wanting to write a book for a good couple of years, and there was two publishers that actually got in touch in the same week, which blew my mind, and I ended up signing with DK Publishing, so a subsidiary of Penguin House. Yeah, and it was a no-brainer. They approached me, and I pretty much said yes straight away off the bat.
And I guess, you know, the canon of cocktail books is very vast. You know, there's a lot of stuff already out there. What were you kind of thinking about? How am I going to produce? How am I going to release something that's got a, you know, a point of difference to what's already been published?
I kind of tailor the book towards the people that already follow the channel. So generally that's, you know, starting from beginners, someone that's never picked up a cocktail shaker, to intermediates, and just tailored it towards that. So it's, you know, you've got the entry, how to start a bar, how to stock your bar, Spirits 101 at the start of the book. Then I've curated 125 cocktails. I mean, there's some books out there that have 500 cocktail recipes, but 50% of them you might not want to make. So I've curated ones that I think are worth knowing. Then basically run through all the techniques to make them, and I've just same with the videos, had sort of a simple approach. And that's the feedback that I've had, that people were just like, it's just got a nice, easy to follow structure. And then I've also incorporated QR codes into it. So every single cocktail in there, you can scan it with your phone and then you get like a little 30, 40 second video, really short and concise of how to make the drink. I thought that was a really cool feature that no one else is doing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I've never seen that in a book before either. And so do you know whether from the publisher, whether that's something that anyone else has ever done before?
No, and there was actually a little bit of hesitance to use QR codes originally, because apparently some people in other countries, it's not as common to use them. But obviously in 2020, you know, in Australia, we're all scanning into venues, so everyone became accustomed to them. And it's not like back in the day when you had to download an app especially for it. It's all built into the phones nowadays. So it's, yeah, to me, it was a cool feature, and I've had a lot of good feedback from it. So.
And the cocktails that you chose to put in there, are they all classic cocktails, or are there any Steve signature drinks, or is that not really what it's about?
Its main focus is classic and modern cocktails. So, I mean, you've got some cocktails dating back to like 1850, and then you've got ones that were, you know, made probably 10 years ago. They're all cocktails that have resonated over the years, and there's a couple of more recent ones that probably aren't that well known, but they resonated with people on the channel, so that's why I shared it in there. There's one called a Mr. Swizzle. I hosted a cocktail competition with the team at Mr. Black, and he was the winner. Nathan Robinson won that, so I really wanted to showcase that and feature that in the book too. So a coffee cocktail, swizzle-esque kind of drink.
Are there many cocktails, you know, that have sort of pushed through to sort of achieve global recognition and perhaps, you know, recognition in the list of, you know, I forget, the International Bartending Association has that list of classic cocktails? I wouldn't have thought there'd be a huge number of those that have kind of achieved like what the likes of a Tommy's Margarita or a Espresso Martini or a Penicillin, for example, has done by sort of achieving that level of recognition. Are there a lot of other drinks that are sort of, you know, perhaps in the next echelon that are getting recognition globally?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of drinks that came out from the sort of the cocktail renaissance of the early, you know, 2000s, when the cocktail culture, especially over in the States, started to emerge a lot. And there was a lot of simple drinks like Gold Rush. That's one of my favorites from the book. It's really simple. It's just bourbon, lemon juice and honey syrup. But that emerged, I think it was around 2000. And that's hugely popular, and it's gone on to inspire lots of other different drinks as well. So there's definitely plenty that have sort of skyrocketed over the last like 20 years. And they've got a lot of staying power too.
Now, you say, I think in the book, that, you know, you only need 10 bottles to get started, you know, with your home bartending journey. Maybe just kind of tell me about how you arrived at those 10 bottles.
Like, a lot of people think they have to go out and buy 20-odd bottles to start making cocktails, but I think the best way to get started is to incrementally buy a few bottles at a time, pick a, you know, one or two cocktails that you love, buy those ingredients, and then expand from there. Because there's so many cocktails that are literally only one ingredient away from something else. So, you know, say if you start with the Gold Rush and you have a bottle of bourbon, lemon juice and honey syrup, you know, it's, you can get a bit of bitters, and then you just make a whiskey sour and add a little bit of egg white. So there's only a couple of ingredients difference. And that's kind of what I was encouraging people to do, rather than go out and buy everything all at once. I've even got a few menus in there as well. So if you're hosting like a cocktail party, you could do a whiskey focused menu and only go out there and buy, you know, three or four bottles, but make 10 different cocktails. Just trying to simplify it for people.
There's a really interesting bit in there about balancing drinks as well, and I wasn't sort of aware that some professional bartenders all sort of have preferred ratios that they use across all their recipes. You know, do you have your own sort of preferred ratio that you use, that you're kind of applying in this book?
Well, I cover cocktail families, so they're essentially like cocktail templates to use. And yeah, sometimes my taste is subjective. So yeah, my taste varies to other people a lot of the time. So I tend to like fairly tart drinks. So yeah, it's definitely going to vary from one person to the next. So when I was writing the book, I did a lot of comparisons. You know, I'd try the cocktail 10 different ways, 10 different recipes from different cocktail books, and basically pick the one that I like the most. But I still, if it wasn't historically accurate, I've still referenced the original recipe and then basically said that this is how I like the drink, this is how I like it, and it feels balanced to me. But if you prefer, you can try adding this to make a riff on that cocktail, or you can lower the lemon juice to make it less acidic, and just made it so it's approachable and easy to understand.
How's the book been received? It's been around for a little while now, so you know, you've got those QR codes in there, so you must have a fairly decent feel, obviously, for how it's selling, but also how people are using the book once they're getting it.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to find out that the first print run sold out just before Christmas, so that was about 3.5 weeks after publish date. First print run was...
Wow.
Yeah, I was blown away. First print run was 10,500 copies. And that's basically because I signed with DK Publishing, they handle the distribution. So immediately it was available in Europe, UK, Australia, America, everywhere, and all the big retailers too. So I was, yeah, very impressed with and happy to see how quickly the books moved.
Do you attribute most of that to people who already were watching your YouTube videos going out and purchasing it or purchasing it online?
Yeah, definitely. That's where I feel I've got most of the traction is from people that have already been familiar with the Steve the Bartender brand and watched the videos, follow me on Instagram or visit the website. So,
is there already talk of a follow-up or what does the future hold for you and the cocktail books?
I think it's too early, but I have had some people ask me. I really did enjoy the writing aspect of the book. I spent about 6 months doing it. I enjoyed the deep diving into particular things and I learned a lot along the way. So I'd love to. And then I'd obviously expand on that and it would be a volume two. So it would probably be a little bit more advanced, more original cocktails from me basically, as opposed to focusing on classics and modern cocktails.
From what you said, your own bartending skills have really developed, like, since you've started the YouTube channel. As you said, you've got a background in hospitality, but it sounds like a lot of your bartending skills have sort of been self-taught. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a lot of reading, really. The big websites that are all cocktail-focused and my book collection, especially since starting to write the book, I've got probably like 50 cocktail books. So just... I'm fascinated with them. It's a bit of a passion of mine, so therefore I've been excited to learn more about it.
What are some of your favourite drinks that you would say are kind of underrated or lesser known? You mentioned the Gold Rush earlier, but are there any others?
I think the Gold Rush is probably lesser known here in Australia, but over in the States
it's not just me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I've been drinking probably more spirit-forward drinks lately, more Manhattans and Sazeracs. In saying that, they are popular drinks as it is. But typically I go towards classics and simple drinks. When I make a drink at home, I don't want to, you know, make infusions or anything like that or milk fat wash something. I just want to, you know, mix 3-4 ingredients together and have something that tastes really good and that sort of heroes the ingredients.
And, you know, you're speaking to me from what looks like a pretty sophisticated studio. So how long have you had that set up there for? And I'm assuming when you launched in 2015, it was a little bit more makeshift than what you have now.
It was definitely makeshift. I ended up back in the day trying a bunch of different places, a mobile bar set up outdoors. But most of the videos were done in my old warehouse, basically in the corner. I've actually got a short video of me deconstructing the studio area on the YouTube channel. It was literally like concrete slab walls, propped up some shelves, and that's where I did a lot of my videos. But having the studio makes things a lot easier. Everything's all set up, ready to go, and it's nice to have things a little bit more organized.
For sure. Maybe we should talk about the distillery now. Tell me about Threefold Distilling and, you know, who did you found that with?
So Aidan Shaw and Luke Fleming, so they're my business partners. I've known those guys for a long time. We've all sort of worked together in the past here in Adelaide, and most recently Aidan was part of the managing team at 2KW, which is a rooftop bar here in Adelaide. And Luke, for the same hotel group, he opened a small bar on Peel Street called Paloma. So they've got extensive hospitality experience as well. And we got together probably about four years ago. We're at a friend's shack and having a few gins. It was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, had a few too many gins. And we just thought, you know, the discussion got onto distilling and we thought, why not give it a shot ourselves? And probably about a month later, Aidan rocked up to my warehouse with a small laboratory set to start doing some trial runs. And we basically learned how to distill. And then we purchased a 200 litre still from a company called Triple H Distill, which is located in Perth, and started trials on that. Spent about a year total working on our first recipe until we were finally happy with it. and launched back in December 2019. Yeah, so all three of us, we share the distillation process. In saying that, of going down to a couple of days a week, and Luke is probably primarily doing a lot of it, but we all sort of chip in, and especially when it comes to trialing new recipes, we all like to get involved in at least the tasting process.
And tell me about your flagship gin. How does it fit stylistically?
So that was our first one, the threefold aromatic gin. We focused on the three flavours being grapefruit, rosemary and lavender, and they're the heroes of the gin, but it does have 11 botanicals in total. So it's got a couple of natives in there, so it's got wattle seed and pepperberry just to add a little bit of spice and mouthfeel, but they're not the heroes. It's a citrusy forward gin, but it's just nicely balanced. And I'd say that's the most popular one because it's just like, it's summery, it's sessionable, it pleases everyone really.
You know, gin is like the lead spirit for what you guys are doing. Have there been any other experiments with different liqueurs or matured spirits at all?
We do a gin-based limoncello. So we made a native gin, and then we macerated lemon peel and three native limes, and then sweetened and bottled at 30%. So that's a really unique take on the limoncello. Then I've also laid down a barrel of rum just as an experiment, and that's been sitting there for about 18 months now, but I think gin is our focus. So I don't think we're going to move into matured spirits in the short term, at least anyway.
And is it very much a hospitality driven business, or is the wholesale side of it important for you as well?
Wholesale is definitely important to us. Here in Adelaide, we're stocked in like a lot of bars. We've got over 170 stockers between bars and bottle shops. We haven't really had a chance to venture out into other states, obviously, because of COVID. We started just before COVID, but we're starting to do that now and venture out into other states.
And what's your thoughts on how the market is for, a company like yourself looking to push out into other states just because, there's so many distilleries these days, aren't there?
Yeah, it's impressive with the state of the market. Like, I mean, when we first started 4 years ago, we were even debating, we're like, are we too late? Is gin had its day? And, year on year, it just keeps growing and growing. And I think gin as a category is just so flexible with what you can actually focus on with the ingredients. So I think that's why people love it. But yeah, it is a little bit daunting wanting to move into other states. And, at the moment, this is our home state and people know us here, whether it's in interstate, it's a whole new world. But we're keen to get there, and we'd love to start exporting as well to other countries, which is on our radar and of having conversations with people, but it's still very early for that.
Well, if you've got the audience that's in other markets overseas with Steve the Bartender, then that should hopefully give you a little bit of a leg up overseas.
Yeah, 100%. I probably get emails or Instagram messages on the daily asking when Threefold's going to be available in the UK and the States. So we need to make it happen.
For sure. Well, you mentioned, when we were talking off mic that you've got an app coming out as well. So that's under the Steve the Bartender brand.
It's actually called Shake and Strain. So it has been launched on Android devices, but we're just going – it's so we launched that going back a year and a half ago. But we're redesigning it, which has all been done. It just needs to be implemented by the developer. Then we've got a ton of new features that are coming out. So once all these new features roll out, then it will be launched on iOS as well in a web-based version. I'm pretty confident that it will be the most feature-rich cocktail app that will be available on the app store. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that to roll out.
And is this something that you've just done completely yourself, or has this sort of been something you were approached to do as well?
Working with another developer. He was moved over to Sydney from Europe. Yeah, he essentially approached me, and then we partnered up and started work on it a couple of years ago, essentially like an extension of my YouTube channel. So everything that's – it's not all exhaustive, so it doesn't have every single cocktail on there, but it does have every single cocktail that I've made on the YouTube channel. So the database just keeps expanding the more I do on the channel. And it's a way that you can actually add in your bottles or your spirits, your ingredients, and find out exactly what cocktails you can make. So it just simplifies the process. Before I had the app, a lot of people were just essentially going to the description of the videos and, taking a screenshot to record it and to take note of what cocktails they want to make. But obviously that's a little bit hard once you start doing that too many times. So the app just organizes everything really nicely.
Cool, Steve. Well, thanks, Steve, for joining us for a chat. It's a really, I think, a really interesting story about how you've, you know, started this yourself and it's kind of all grown organically. And, yeah, really excited to see where it all goes for you.
Thanks, James.